Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Nasiri, and each week we go through different topics, tools, interviews, and chats to help veterans succeed in their civilian career. Today we're going to be doing a data episode, specifically delving into data from LinkedIn I've put together to see about potential careers veterans have in the industry of management consulting. But first, a few quick announcements. The first announcement is that on January 17th, 2018, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I am going to be hosting an online panel called Veterans in Consulting. That's will be 6 p.m. to about 7:15. So those of you on the East Coast will be starting at 9 o'clock. You can still be in bed by 10:30. With your head spinning with career possibilities about consulting. It's going to be really cool. I'm going to have three different veterans, each who went directly from the military on active duty into a consulting firm. And we're going to talk about everything you could possibly want to know about a career in management consulting. Pay, what you do, what your day-to-day looks like, what the lifestyle's like, what travel is like, what career progressions are like, how they see other veterans getting in there, tips for interviewing. I'll lead a panel, and then we'll have about 30 minutes of Q&A, and this will be done on a video conference using the platform Zoom. You can pre-register right now, and you will be emailed when registration opens. I'm trying this out as something new. There will be a nominal fee associated with this, somewhere between $10 to $15, depending on whether or not I'm able to find a sponsor for this. The reason why I'm charging for this is, first of all, it does increase commitment. When people pay for something, they're more likely to show up, they're more likely to value it, but it also does help support the podcast and allows me to keep on doing this for free as a side gig for me. That's the first announcement. The second one is, if you haven't had a chance yet to leave us a review on iTunes, definitely take the time to do that. Would greatly appreciate a 5-star review. It helps us get the word out about the show. So let's dive into today's episode. This is something I've been thinking about for nearly a year. It's just been difficult to carve out the time to actually sort through all the different data that is available on LinkedIn. Rather than waiting to publish this information as one massive ebook, I decided to start by releasing it in a series of podcasts. This is an opportunity as well for me to get your feedback, and I would be really appreciative if you give me feedback on this. Let me know what's helpful and what you'd like to learn more about. That way, as I go through these different episodes, we can really drill down on the data that will be most helpful to you. You can get me that feedback in the show notes for this episode at beyondtheuniform.io. You can leave a comment, or you can just email me at justin@beyondtheuniform.io. And I very much appreciate that feedback. I really want to tailor this information to what is most beneficial to you. And there is so much data. I'm thinking back for those of you who have seen the movie Swingers. You know, I've got this bunny and these claws, and I just have no idea, no clue on how to kill this thing. There's so many different ways I could kill this bunny. That's the way I feel with this data. There are so many ways to slice this. So I took a first stab at some of the data, just a very, very tiny bit of it today. But based on your feedback, if you like this, I'll end up doing more of this. It does take a tremendous amount of time and energy and even money to compile this data. And so your feedback helps me know whether to, you know, whether the juice is worth the squeeze for this or whether I should just focus on the traditional interviews. All right, so let's go through a quick agenda today. We're going to talk about, in part one, why I'm looking at consulting and why I think you should be thinking of consulting. Part two, we're going to look at the landscape of consulting, who are the key players in management consulting. Part three, I'll go very briefly through my methodology, how I got this data, just so you understand how to weight the data that I'm presenting today. Part four, we're going to talk about titles. What are the most common entry titles at each firm, corresponding salary information, and then the bulk of the time we'll spend in part five, we are going to do a seriously deep dive into some data. We're going to look at the branch of service, length of service, how exactly people manage to get a job in management consulting, just things that I found interesting from the data. So let's start with part one, why consulting? There's a couple of reasons why I started looking at this data. The first is that consulting, management consulting, is a very common career path for veterans. It is the fifth, when I compiled data about a year ago looking at this, management consulting is the fifth largest industry that U.S. military veterans pursue when they leave the military. About 4% of veterans enter into this industry. Another reason is that from a data standpoint, my view on management consulting is it's a very structured career, very analogous to the military. My experience in the military is there is a very career progression for me, a very clear career progression from I understood how long, you know, exactly how long it took me to go from ensign to lieutenant junior grade, how long from lieutenant junior grade to lieutenant, and then basically a rough feel for how long it might take for me to progress to lieutenant commander, commander, and all the way on up. Same thing for consulting. There is a very clear career path for most consulting firms and very standardized roles. So I thought that it's going to be an easy starting point to really delve into some interesting data. And then lastly, why consulting? It is something I'm a little bit more familiar with. My story, for those of you who listened to episode 100, was I went from Navy submarines. After 5 years, I got out. I went to business school at Stanford. I did my internship at McKinsey & Company Consulting in New York. I was going to go there full time and then started a company instead, and wackiness ensued. But I did get a taste in that 8 to 10 week summer internship, and in considering this as my future career, I did get a taste for what consulting was like. And I'll try to add in a little bit of that flavor. Obviously, it's very limited data, but I can share the anecdotal evidence about that experience to kind of season some of the data. Part two. So let's talk about the landscape. And if I do get good feedback and I from you as listeners, and I end up doing more episodes like this, I'm imagining this landscape piece is going to be a little bit repetitious. I'll probably talk about this more, but repetition is, as we know, the mother of learning, and I hope that repetition is helpful for you. So in putting together this data, I looked at a Forbes article in 2015. I'll link to it in the show notes. It was titled The Most Prestigious Consulting Firms. And I went off of their ranking. They listed that the top 10 consulting firms, in order one being the most prestigious to number 10, number one was McKinsey & Company. Number two was the Boston Consulting Group, or BCG. Number three was Bain & Company. Number four, Deloitte Consulting. Number five was Booz Allen Hamilton. Number six was PricewaterhouseCooper, or PwC. Number seven was Ernst & Young, or EY. Number eight was Accenture. Number nine was KPMG. And number 10 was IBM's Global Business Services. So I use that as a starting point. The data, the bulk of the data I have actually goes through all 10 firms and looks at things like length of service, length of civilian working history, and how that affects which firm you go to and specifically which positions you get into there. Today, however, I wanted to focus just on McKinsey. And that brings us to part three, which is just the methodology around all this data we'll get into. So I focused on McKinsey. In subsequent episodes, based on feedback, we can start to look at other firms. This might be sufficient for those of you, but if you do want more of this, let me know, and we'll go through additional data. But I wanted to start with, I start at the top here with McKinsey. All of the data that we're going to go through today is publicly available on LinkedIn. The reason I chose LinkedIn is that just my personal belief is that very few people take time to fill out surveys, but most professionals take time to fill out their LinkedIn profile. And so by using this publicly available data, I believe it will provide a better data set and a more representative data set of what veterans are doing than any form of survey that I've seen. When I was putting together this data, I looked at all members on LinkedIn who had previously worked in the Army, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, the Marine Corps, and the Navy. I considered all veterans, both officer and enlisted. And for the sake of today's episode, I'm going to specifically drill in to one position. So what I did is I looked at the top 10 firms. I looked at what every single person does and what the most common titles people start with at these different 10 firms, and I rank ordered them. What's the most common title by firm? And what I found is the most common position to enter into McKinsey & Company for a veteran is a title of associate. And so today, just to make this as bite-sized as possible, we're going to deal specifically with associates at McKinsey & Company, or put a different way, the number one consulting firm. What is the most common starting point for a veteran? I have a couple other methodology points that I'll go through as when we get into part five of the data, but I think that's sufficient for now. And I hope you're still with me. I know this is a little tedious, but I just want to tee things up. So part four, let's talk about title. So when we talk on the January 17th Veterans and Consulting online panel, we're going to go into a lot more detail about career progression. And career progression does vary based on which of those top 10 firms you're looking at. But to put things into perspective for today, I wanted to cover three titles before we go into the data. So we're going to talk about the top three titles that I found are most likely for a veteran to enter into at McKinsey & Company. That is associate, followed by engagement manager, followed by partner. Associate is by far the leading of those three. Most people who are veterans start as associate. There are a few that have started as engagement managers, and even fewer who have started as a partner. This is generally the level of promotion within McKinsey. It's actually one additional position. So people usually start as associate. They're promoted to engagement manager. From engagement manager, they're promoted to associate partner. And then from associate partner, they're promoted to partner. So we're going to be skipping one title today. But let's chat quickly about salary and a description of these roles before we dive into the data about it. So associates. I looked at a site called Glassdoor. I think this is a great tool for you as veterans to look at, and there's links in the show notes to this. But I looked at Glassdoor, which compiles data to tell you what salaries people generally make. So according to Glassdoor, an associate at McKinsey and Company makes $172,000 per year. That is all in. It's a base salary of $140,000 with $32,000 a year in incentives like commission or bonus, things like that. And of course, the points, consultants will tell you about those precious points that they hoard gallivanting about the world on jets and staying in Starwood hotels. It is another perk of being a consultant. Is the downside is you tend to travel quite a bit. The upside is you get that corporate expense account and you rack up lots of frequent flyer miles and lots of points that you redeem for extravagant vacations when you get the time off. In terms of what an associate does, according to McKinsey's website, you'll work in teams of typically 3 to 5 consultants playing an active role in all aspects of client engagement. And I'll put a link in the show notes to the full job description. That was my experience. I believe at the time when I was a summer associate, it was called, the title was actually called consultant, but that's what I did. I worked, it was a group of, on one project, 5 people, on another project, 4 people. We went into the company. There was just the 4 to 5 of us, but we would be working almost around the clock. doing interviews, crunching data, putting together presentations, and it's kind of like a SWAT team that you're inserted into the company to solve a problem, provide a recommendation, analyze data, things like that. The next roll up from that is engagement manager. And again, according to Glassdoor, that's a starting salary of $251,000 a year all in, $174,000 a year if that is base. What does an engagement manager do? Well, according to the website again, they will typically lead a team of 3 to 5 consultants to help clients achieve new performance heights. Practically speaking, from my experience, when I was working with that team of 4 or 5 individuals, one of them was an engagement manager. In my experience, that was someone who had done the associate role for 2 or 3 years. They had excelled. And then instead of just being kind of a doer and a data analyzer and kind of task oriented, they were doing a lot of that still, but they were managing the 3 or 4 of us. They were, you know, really leading the project and chunking it down into smaller pieces and giving each of us a different piece and coordinating that effort. So my experience was their sleeves were still rolled up. They were still doing a lot of the hands-on work, but they were starting to do more of the management, more of the leadership of the team. You know, from there you go to associate partner, but I'll just go jump into partner because the numbers are so impressive. Partners, according to Glassdoor, make $1.2 million per year all in. Pretty mind-boggling, quite a bit of money. Their base salary is about $500,000, $572,000 according to Glassdoor. The rest of that is made up in commissions and bonuses. There was no job description online that I found in my experience. I saw the partner maybe once a week on the engagements I was involved in my summer internship with McKinsey. The partner is, you know, from my view, they're generally, a lot of their job is selling business. They would go to companies and they would sell different projects. They were a little bit more bringing in business. And so in our role, you know, this partner had sold the business to this pharmaceutical company. He would check in with the client, make sure things are going well, and he'd really weigh in to help us and make sure we were delivering the finest level of product to that client because, you know, his reputation is on the line there. The partners have been around at a company like McKinsey for a while. They're extremely bright, they're extremely sharp, and so they were able to just tactically insert and help guide along the project. They weren't there day in and day out like the engagement manager, but they were pretty actively involved in making sure things were going well and were always on call. So that's just my kind of 2 cents worth of experience. So let's dive in now to the bulk of this. The gist of this, which is going to be part 5, the deep dive, and that's a little allusion to my submarine roots for you. So let's talk about branch of service. And again, this is just going to be about McKinsey, and it's just going to be about that starting position of associate at McKinsey. First thing I looked at was branch of service. So when you look at the veterans who are currently at McKinsey and Company as an associate, 56% of them are Army veterans. So the majority come from the Army. Second place is the Navy, which makes up about 31%. And then followed pretty distantly by the Air Force at 11%. I did not see any Coast Guards, but I did see the Marines. They are the few and the proud. In this case, they are just the few because there is only 2% that I could find of Marines that are at McKinsey right now in an associate position. But I bet those 2% are very proud because it's a very difficult job to get, and they should be proud of that. Let's talk next about how they get there. So before becoming an associate at McKinsey, the veterans I looked at took 1 of 3 different routes to that role. They went directly from the military to the role as an associate. Second, they went to some form of schooling before directly going to that position. Or third, they worked in industry before at a different job before going into that associate position. Now, before we get into the data here, quick caveat. For simplicity, I looked at the occupation the person had immediately prior to working at McKinsey. There were a very small few, of the people I looked at who had industry experience and then went to school and then went to McKinsey. In this case, I just considered them going from school to McKinsey. I was thinking, you know, maybe we do another look at what people do prior to going to graduate school, but that's a different subject entirely. So let's look at the numbers. The overwhelming majority of people who became an associate at McKinsey first went to some sort of school. 89% of these people, of these veterans at McKinsey's, went to school immediately prior to starting at McKinsey. This is not too surprising. Education can be that giant Nintendo reset button that one pushes in a career prior to going on to a new career. That's why it's, in many cases, ideal for veterans. And according to McKinsey's website, in order to work as an associate, you do need an advanced degree of some sort. So after that 89%, 5% of these associates went directly from the military into that position, and the other 5% went to some industry position before going to McKinsey. So the number of people that go straight from the military to McKinsey in an associate role, it's very, very few, 5%, 1 out of 20 people do it. It's very difficult to do that. Let's take a deeper look, though, at education. So 89% of these associates got, 89% of these associates went to some sort of school beforehand, and of those, 89%, the overwhelming majority again, got an MBA, a Master's of Business Administration. That is the degree of choice for veterans going this route. 6% had a Master's of Science, 4% had a PhD, and 2% had a Master's of Arts. So most of these people are going to some sort of business school prior to going on to consulting. So, if MBA is the most popular route, you may ask, what are the most popular schools? And I love you all so much that I dug into that data too. So these were the top schools that I found that people went to. There was a tie for first place with 20% of those who went to a business school going to Harvard Business School in Boston, Massachusetts, and 20% going to Wharton Business School in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Next up was the Darden School of Business, which is in Charlottesville, Virginia. 10% went to Darden. And then in third place, there was another tie, 6% going to Chicago's Booth School of Business, and 6% going to MIT's Sloan School of Business, which is also in Boston, Massachusetts. I won't delve in further just in the sake of brevity, but you'll find a full list of every school that I found and links to those graduate programs in case you want to check them out. Those will be in the show notes at beyondtheuniform.io. Whether you're considering consulting or something else, I think it's just helpful to see what schools veterans tend to go to. By all means, you can trailblaze, you can go your own route, but if you're just strictly looking at the numbers, you can get a sense for what schools you might want to check out and what schools you might want to apply to. And quick plug here for Service to School, great organization. I get nothing for pumping them, nothing for promoting them, but I still believe in them. They are an incredible and free resource for veterans if you're thinking of going to get a PhD, JD, MBA, all of the above, MD, they are a great program for helping you get that ideal educational experience. One last caveat on education. There were a few overachievers in the data set who had multiple degrees. They are miserly collectors hoarding their degrees, hanging them on their wall. I just simplified this for my own analysis. I just looked at one degree in the case if they had multiple degrees. So finally, let's chat about length of service. And I cut this data a couple different ways. So first of all, on average, a veteran who is working as an associate at McKinsey & Company has served for 6.6 years prior to leaving active duty. However, if you look at the route that the veteran took, I found that this was really interesting. So if you go from the military directly to school or directly to industry, it's pretty much the same. The average person serves for 6.5 years before going to school or 6.3 years before going to industry. However, for that small group, that 5% that's able to go directly from the military to an associate position at McKinsey & Company, in this case, the average length of active duty service is 9.7 years. So that's 49% longer than those who went to school. This was interesting for me because an MBA is 2 years. So if you go from active duty to some sort of graduate school, let's say, you know, an MBA, on average, you end up getting to McKinsey 1 year sooner than someone who went there directly from the military. But if you stay on active duty, if you're part of that rare 5% who can go directly to McKinsey, while it does take you 1 year longer to get there, you need to bear in mind that you're going to save yourself $120,000 plus in tuition to go to business school. And you also have 2 to 3 more years where you're not unemployed. You're actually working a pretty good, making a pretty good income while on active duty. So just something to consider as you're listening to this. If you're thinking of staying in longer or getting out, I took the route of getting out earlier. I liked that. It worked out well for me, but there are advantages to staying in longer. And then lastly, with time in service, Navy vets tended to serve a tad bit longer, about 7.2 years. Compared to the Air Force and Army, where the average is about 6.2 years. But Marine Corps, that small 2% of Marines, they served about 11 years on average. Hoorah. All right, so my head is spinning from going through all this data. Please, please, please let me know if this is helpful. I can imagine that it's difficult to take this information in by podcast. So if this is helpful, I'll put this together in an ebook. We'll put the graphs in there, make it pretty, and I'll invest the time in doing that if that's a more helpful format. It does take about 10 times longer, probably 20 times longer, honestly, to go through this sort of data as opposed to just interviewing a veteran. I do it because it's data that I really would have wanted to know if I were transitioning today, but it would be really helpful to know if this is useful for you. So whether you tag me on LinkedIn or email me or put this in the show note comments, please let me know in some way. If not, I'll let the Excel spreadsheet cool off a bit and focus on the traditional interviews. But there is a tremendous amount of data available. I've got all of this data sitting there. It's been sitting here for 6 months. I just haven't prioritized parsing through this. So if that's of interest to you, please let me know. And I will suck it up and bowl through some more data for you. Either way, don't miss out on the chance to sign up today to reserve your seat for January 17th's Veteran in Consulting online panel. It'll be a great way to see each other by video, to chat, to have you chime in, ask questions, add comments. And rather than just hearing from me and from data, you'll hear from three different veterans who have had very successful careers in consulting, managed to go straight from the military into consulting. They can share about their experience, but also other veterans that they know from working together and how they got there. We're going to delve into lifestyle, career, interview prep, everything you could possibly want to know about the path of management consulting for veterans. So sign up today. Other than that, one last plug to leave a review on iTunes. It's really important to me to get this in front of more veterans. This is just a side project for me. It's something I greatly enjoy, but I want to make sure I'm using my time to have the biggest impact on the veteran community. Getting more iTunes reviews means that I get more listeners, and gets more listeners means that I have some sign that I'm having a bigger impact, and that's very, very meaningful for me. So I greatly appreciate that. If you're not on our newsletter, please sign up at beyondtheuniform.io. Always love hearing from you. If there's particular data or people you'd like me to interview, it definitely helps to hear from you so I can make sure I'm steering Beyond the Uniform in the direction that's going to serve you all the most. So be safe wherever you are. I appreciate your listening and have a great week. I will be back next week with more interviews with veterans about their civilian career and possibly, if we get enough feedback, more data about where veterans end up and advice on how to get there. Have a great week.